A reading from the Gospel according to Mark. The Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus. He noted that some of his disciples were eating with unclean hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and the Jews in general follow the tradition of the elders, and never eat without washing their hands as far as the elbow. On returning from the marketplace, they never eat without first sprinkling themselves. There are also many other observances which have been handed down to them concerning the washing of cups and pots and bronze dishes. So these Pharisees and scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not respect the tradition of the elders, but eat their food with unclean hands?" He answered, "It was of you hypocrites that Isaiah so rightly prophesied in this passage of Scripture: 'This people honours me only with lip service, while their hearts are far from me. The worship they offer me is worthless. The doctrines they teach are only human regulations.' You put aside the commandment of God to cling to human traditions." And he said to them, "How ingeniously you got round the commandment of God not to preserve your own tradition. For Moses said, 'Do your duty to your father and your mother,' and 'Anyone who curses father or mother must be put to death.' You say, 'If a man says to his father or mother, anything I have that I might have used to help you is korban, that is dedicated to God, he is forbidden from that moment to do anything for his father or mother. In this way you make God's word null and void for the sake of your tradition, which you have handed down. You do many other things like this.'" The Gospel of the Lord. I was 8 years as a chaplain in Leicester, and even now I still get the odd call to hospitals. And again and again I am called out to people who are dying. When I anoint them, I nearly always say the same thing: if they're very ill, very close to death, I speak to them, and must be said in most cases I doubt they can hear me. I can't be sure. I say to them usually these words: "If you can hear me, don't be worried, there's nothing to worry about. God is very near." It's all we can say to those who are dying: God is near. But nearness is a strange concept. It breaks into two types of nearness. There's a nearness of objects to each other, then there's a nearness of persons. The difference is with objects: if one object is near to another object, then the reverse must be true. There is near to each other, as each other. It's not true with persons. One person can be near to someone who's not near to them. And it's the same even with our being in the presence of God. The three persons, of course, are utterly near to each other, interpenetrated beyond nearness. We are not as near to God as God is near to us. The nearness is part of the dialogue, the logic of this passage. Christ quotes from Isaiah. Obviously a passage he knows by heart, he can quote it very easily. "This people honours me only with lip service, while their hearts are far from me." Now, korban, which is what the Pharisees call the things they will not give to their father or mother, seems to be connected with the Hebrew verb to be near. Korban means offering, but you mean that you offer something by bringing it near, making it near. Often that imagines quite simply, in a geometric sense, you bring it towards an altar, to the temple. You make things near to God. That's the point about objects and people. Of course, the object being given to a person doesn't really mean anything, except as a symbol of the nearness of the person who gives it. Gifts always mean what the giver intends them to mean. The real meaning of a gift is in the giver, not in the thing. The expensive thing is a sign of the person's willingness to spend time, money, effort. But it's not as real as the thing that's in the heart of the person, which makes it near. and to make korban, which is a bringing near to God, not really of objects, but of ourself, symbolizing these objects, and then to make that korban into a way of being distant from our father and mother, is a great sacrilege, a great distortion of the meaning of nearness. As they say, persons are not always near to each other as they would like to be, as they can be. It's not reciprocal, automatically. And most of all, that's true of God. The true korban, the true nearness, is when we ourselves take upon ourselves something of the nearness of God to us. When we acknowledge that God is near to us, so we can start to respond. But more than respond, by grace, by the Spirit, to be made nearer to God than we're capable of being by our own power. God makes us near to each other and to God himself. He brings us into himself. That's why I say to the dying, not because I was thinking of this passage, but just because it seems the most important thing for those who are close to death. God is near, very near. He always has been, always will be. And now you have to acknowledge that nearness, accept it, belong to that nearness. God isn't coming nearer to you, you're coming nearer to God. God is bringing you to himself. The end, the true korban, the true offering, is our whole self. In death, by God's grace, by death and resurrection, we become korban. And that korban, that nearness to God, is a nearness to God's creation. No one ever separated himself from human beings by coming near to God. We come near to all that God has made, and he makes us into his own very precious korban, the offering to God of our whole self, the self which was always God's from the beginning, the gift of knowing that we are gift.